You may be wondering why we've read about the calling of Simon and Andrew 2 weeks in a row. And that's because last week we heard the calling of them from the gospel according to John. And this week we hear that same story, or what's actually a very different one, from the gospel of Matthew. And we also hear about James and John. This passage is different. Last week, these two were disciples of John the Baptist, and fishermen were never mentioned. This week, Jesus is walking by the sea, where he finds the fishermen working. The context is different in this part of the story, in this storytelling. This story takes place in the Gospel of Matthew immediately after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, a story we won't read until we get to Lent. And what follows after this story of the calling of these first disciples is the Sermon on the Mount. We'll pick up that story in a couple of weeks when we read from that sermon. Matthew sets up John's arrest as the catalyst that takes Jesus from his time in the wilderness into his ministry. I think it's easy when we read this to go straight to the middle of the passage where Jesus is calling disciples. But that first part when he's responding to John's arrest is what holds the weight for me in this story. We can wonder if Jesus knew this was coming and if he was just waiting for John's work of preparing the way to be finished before he started his ministry. But I have a more down-to-earth theology of Jesus, and I think that John being arrested is the kick that Jesus got to get started. I think it's the jump that really shocked him. I think his cousin getting arrested did shock him. And whether Jesus was ready for it or not, it was time for his work to officially begin. Sometimes I think it takes a crisis to spur us to action. We read already in this gospel before this passage about Jesus preparing for the work he's going to do. He's already been baptized. He's gone into the wilderness to prepare for his ministry. And I think we can think of how we prepare in our own lives. And we can feel prepared to do work. But sometimes we still need that catalyst moment that wake us up and spur us to action. I bet you can think of something that has worked like that in your life. A person or an event that has functioned as a catalyst to get you going. We are all Christians, and at some point, there may have been a moment of transition that catalyzed you to walking on this road, to continue walking on this road. It makes me think about what made those disciples leave their boats in the gospel today. And how that moment of meeting Jesus was the moment that led to everything afterwards that we read and we still are participating in. I hope you spent some time this week remembering the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, what he made his work and what he made his life stand for. We can look at his life and sort of try to wonder what his catalyst was. I think it's easy to point out the Montgomery bus boycott was the catalyst that launched him into the national stage. From after that came the Southern Christian Leadership Conference that he formed, then Albany and then Birmingham, with those images of the fire hoses and him in jail writing his letter. And then it seems like not much time after that, he's marching on Washington, and we have I Have a Dream. This week it made me think about what the catalyst was that moved him on that path and started him on that work. And we can talk about that. We can also talk about the catalyst that he was for everyone who followed him and continues to follow him, and the catalyst that we pray he continues to be for us and for our country. When Jesus hears the news of his cousin's arrest, he heads north. He goes back to Galilee, where Nazareth was, where he was born. He gathers up his things at Nazareth, and we don't know why, but then he goes even farther north to Capernaum. He begins gathering his team of disciples. That's what we read today. He teaches in their synagogues. He proclaims the good news of the kingdom. He cures every disease and every sickness. And in no time, he's giving the Sermon on the Mount. And then, like Dr. King, we can ask ourselves, what moved Jesus to this work? What was the catalyst that started him? Or we can talk about the catalyst that he was, and the one we pray he continues to be for us. I think the question for us is, what do we allow to change the course of our lives? And are we able to name the people or events through which God has called to us and we have already listened? I've used Dr. King as an example because he was clearly one of the very best of us. And when we learn about the life of Jesus and the work and the change that he began in the world, it can seem impossible for us to pick up that task. He was, after all, the divine presence of God in the world, and we are ourselves, fully flawed. I think examples like King and the countless people who were spurred and are spurred to action because of him show us that a life can have the trajectory of calling and response that we witnessed in Jesus' life and in those who surrounded him. We only need to train ourselves to listen for that calling and to train ourselves to be open to respond to it. May it be so.